As I said, I'm Jonathan, and I'm so excited I get to hang with you guys and your leaders. And so just a little bit about me is I'm going to be around a lot more and probably up here at times. And so I just graduated from Dallas Baptist University. Go Patriots, that's right. And so I'm a part of the Watermark Institute, or the residency this year. And so I was with the equipping team, and now I'm jumping on over to students, and I could not be more happy and excited to be here with you guys this morning. And the last thing about me is I actually just got married. So 9 months ago, I got married. That's right. My amazing wife is in the back. Shout out, Lennon. You're awesome. So as we're going through, obviously, the friendship series here, Resolve, I want to ask you guys not what you learned last week, but 2 weeks ago, Sean shared a formula for friendship, and I'm wondering if anyone in here remembers the formula for friendship. I saw your hand right here. That is exactly right. Vulnerability plus time equals friendship. Give it up for my man. Great job. That's right. So as Sean shared that, we're going to continue on, obviously, in our Resolve series, talking about what friendship means and how to be a good friend to others. And so, in this week, we're going to be talking about how Jesus is our example, and we're going to walk through how Jesus was a friend to others. And so, the goal of this series, as you've heard it in the past few weeks, is to resolve in 2021 to be the kind of friend that God created you to be. And so a lot of us desire good friends, but don't think about being a good friend to others. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is how we desire to have a godly group of friends, but not always are we have a mind ready to serve and love others around us, that we don't often think about how we can be a good friend to others. And so for that, what does it mean to be a good friend? We're going to turn to Ephesians 4. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4, and we're going to be there in verse 1, and we're going to read just 4 verses, so we won't be there very long. But Ephesians 4, and I'm going to go ahead and read starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope one, or excuse me, to the one hope that belongs to your call. And so, if you guys know anything about the letter written to Ephesus, Ephesians here, the book of Ephesians, written by Paul, and he is urging all of us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called, and that looks like humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing one another with one another in love. And so we're going to look at one more verse. Move your finger right on down the page to verse 15. And so verse 15 in Ephesians 4 says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so today, as I said, we're going to talk about what makes someone a good friend. And we're going to look at the 5 characteristics that we can pull from those 5 verses. Those are humility, gentleness, patience, love, and speaking the truth in love to others. And so we can list all those things out, and you've probably heard them before, whether it's been at Wake or at small group. But what does that actually mean, and how can we apply those things to our lives? And so we're going to break down each one of those sections, and then we're going to walk through an example of how Jesus did this. So part 1, Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, the 4 characteristics that we saw there were humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And so we cannot be a godly example to others when we lack humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And so simply to put that in a quick little phrase, I would say that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so you may have heard that before, but if my goal is to love others and to share the hope of Christ with others, they're not going to care what I know until they know that I care about them as a person and that I love them. And so that's why we need to practice humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And secondly, in verse 15, what does it mean to speak the truth in love? And so, guys, speaking the truth in love, man, it involves every conversation and action and interaction we have with those around us. It's the manifestation of the gospel within our very own words and actions. But when we speak the truth in love to others, it comes out in every single way that we interact with others, whether it be our parents, our friends, classmates, teachers. The very way that we carry ourselves around is speaking the truth in love to others. But specifically, I think diving that in and narrowing down a little bit more, speaking the truth in love can come out in hard conversations and can come out in also life-giving ones. And so for an example of a hard conversation, I want to take you back to a memory I had in my freshman year of DBU. And so I came into DBU and I was a huge fan of sports. I found my identity in sports in high school. I was, okay, I'm going to be the sports guy. I'm going to be really good and people are going to look at me and think highly of me because of that. So I came into DBU my freshman year and probably 3 weeks in, we had intramural softball. And if you know anything about intramural softball in college, it's not as intense as it sounds. Which it doesn't sound that intense, but I came in thinking I'm going to be the intramural softball champion. My team is going to win every single game. We're going to have practice 3 times a week. Not actually, but I came in, and so I was the manager of our team. I created a roster of people. I got jerseys. I got, names, logos, everything. So I actually have a picture of what I looked like freshman year. Yep, that's me rolling up to the fields, intramural softball. That is, in fact, a digital camo jersey. It had my name and number on the back. I don't think you can see it. I'm rocking the Jesus piece. That's my high school baseball hat. And those are, in fact, Nike compression leggings with, don't worry, I changed into cleats, bright orange Nike cleats. So, don't forget the 3/4 sleeve there to keep the throwing arm warm. So, I came up my freshman year, and I was ready. I was ready to come out and show everyone what I got and look like that. And so, how does that tie into speaking the truth in love? And so, in a silly way to illustrate that, no one spoke the truth in love to me to tell me that I shouldn't have worn that to my first intramural softball game. And consequently, we dressed a whole team. And so there's another man on the side of that picture who's also a wake leader. Zach Funderburk, no one spoke the truth in love to him either. And he showed up in that same digital camo jersey. And guys, no one spoke the truth in love to Zach to teach him how to properly hold up a thumbs up. If you look, we're going to zoom in. Yeah, I don't know what that is, guys. But man, there were so many instances within just this picture alone where people could have spoken the truth in love to us. So obviously that's a silly illustration. But college was a time for me where for a long time, I lived my life one way throughout high school. And when I got to college, people started speaking the truth in love to me, starting to teach me what it meant to actually be a follower of Christ and how to not put my identity in sports or what other people thought of me or people pleasing. And I can still struggle with those things today, but people lovingly came alongside me and with gentleness, humility, patience, and love, they walked alongside me in that. And so at its core, speaking the truth in love is when we care enough to speak the gospel into the lives of those around us. When we care enough to speak the gospel into the lives of those around us. And so we're going to look at how Jesus modeled this and how he is our example for this. And so for that, we're going to turn to John chapter 4. Flip over a couple, obviously, in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 4. And we're going to look at the story of Jesus and the woman in the well. So Jesus and the woman in the well, we're going to start in verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'm going to read. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone in town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And so there are contexts there in brackets written in. Guys, that is very radical that Jesus would even initiate a conversation with this woman, not only because she was a woman, but because she was a Samaritan woman. And so we see right off the bat that Jesus started a conversation. This is the first way that we see Jesus exemplified friendship, that Jesus started a conversation. And in this, he modeled humility and love. He was humble enough to come alongside this woman and initiate a conversation and loving enough to care for her. So how does that translate to our lives? With every single one of these points, I want to give you a real life practical example of what that looks like for middle schoolers. And so think about the person alone at lunch or the friend that I know if I was friends with that person, it might actually cost me. That if I was friends with this person, that my friends would look at me differently because I associated with this person. I remember in middle school and high school, I used to always think about going to that table and I'm just looking for my friends. I'm looking to be comfortable. I'm looking to go in and settle in right next to the people that know me or where I can fit in with them. But Jesus initiated. He started a conversation. And so how can we have eyes for those around us who may not know the truth and the hope and love of Christ? So, going on to our next example, we're going to go John 4, look, starting in verse 10. It says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with water from this well, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so guys, the second way that we see Jesus exemplify friendship is that he inspired with God's goodness. Jesus led into this friendship, and the number one thing that he was concerned with this woman knowing about was God's goodness and how that he offered her eternal life. And we're going to get to that in a second. But Jesus was motivated by eternal things. And because he was motivated by the goodness of God, that's why he wanted to share it with this woman. And so my practical life application to you guys, and the translate is that loving others because we understand Christ's love. And so you initiate with others because who Jesus is. And so I've heard the saying that people say what they think, but they do what they believe. And so what that means is you can show up to Wake here on Sundays, and you can go to small group on Wednesdays, and I can raise my hand, and I did a really good job of this in Sunday school. I'd raise my hand, I grew up in the church, and I would answer Jesus every time. Or I would say, you need to have humility, patience, love, and you need to be kind, and you need to speak the truth in love, but I didn't practice it. And so my charge to you guys is that people say what they think, but they do what they believe. Does your life actually look different when you walk out of these four walls on a Sunday? Even at lunch today with your parents or your siblings, are you loving towards them? Do you submit to your parents? Do you serve them when they ask you to do things the first time? Because I lived my life completely opposite when I walked out of church, because I just said the things that I thought were true, but I didn't actually live them out because I didn't believe them in my heart. Guys, 1 John 3:16 says, "For this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us, so that we may lay down our lives for others." For this we know. I just want to sit on that, man, for this we know that Christ laid down his life for us. Do you actually know that in your heart? That Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, and because he paid the penalty for your sins, that your life can look different because of what Jesus did for us. That your life has the opportunity to be one marked by love and service because I know and have experienced Christ's love for me. And does it motivate the way you live your life and sacrifice for others? So that's the question I have for you. Does Christ's love motivate the way you live your life and sacrifice for others? And so moving on from there, we're going to go to our next example, John 4:16-19, continuing on in the story. And so it says, "He told her, 'Go and call your husband and come back.' She says, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.'" And so the third way Jesus exemplified friendship is that he didn't ignore the need. Jesus was willing in this moment to speak the truth in love. Look at our example here that Jesus sets. He didn't ignore that this woman had a need deeper than just getting water out of a well today. He saw her and said, "There is something more going on," just like that person probably sitting in by themselves at school that just wants to go through the hallways and keep their head down and make it through another day, only to go home, maybe to a not great home life. Or maybe to go back and sit by themselves again in class after class, realizing, man, I don't have many close friends. Maybe I don't have a close friend that I can share things with, that I can go do things with. He didn't ignore the need. He saw it. He started a conversation. He inspired with God's goodness, and he didn't ignore the need. And so again, the translation to our lives. Guys, I'd say stop making excuses to love others. Because when I was in middle school and high school, I made a lot of excuses, and we don't want to admit it. But when I would see that student sitting by themselves or the homeless person on the side of the road, I would think to myself, well, they've probably done things to get themselves there. They've probably made a lot of bad choices. Maybe I wouldn't say that they deserve that, but I would say, man, someone else is probably going to go and love that person. I'm going to make an excuse in this moment. I'm in a hurry here, or I told my friends I was going to have this conversation with them, or I'm late to class, like insert the blank. And so I would just say, guys, don't ignore needs all around us. Have eyes for people we can love and serve. And guys, I'd share with you Mark 2:17. It says, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came to love the sick and be a friend to them. And so if I walk around the hall and I think I'm good enough to make it, I'm good enough to get by, I've got everything I need, man, that's the wrong posture to have. Just completely set on my own mind and where I'm going and what's in front of me. Jesus came to look and have eyes for the sick. He came to love and heal them, those who admitted that they were broken. And so we look at our last part of this story and our last characteristic of the way that Jesus exemplified friendship. We're going to move to John 4, verse 25. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. And the last way that Jesus exemplified friendship is that he offered salvation. This is Jesus showing humility, gentleness, patience, and love. That he offered salvation to this woman, that he saw a need that she had. He saw an eternal need that she had. And he said, I am he. I am the Christ. And again, the translation to our lives and into middle schoolers is that Jesus offered her something much more than water. And so do we have eyes for those who have deeper needs than maybe just someone sitting with them at lunch? Or deeper needs than maybe just someone to be able to confess sin with? Or maybe deeper needs that they have someone that they can share the hope of Christ with them. They have a need. Because maybe there are some of those that you sit around in your small group with that have a need. And they need to know the gospel and to experience Christ's love in their hearts. Because it's one thing to just say it, but it's another to truly experience it. And so Jesus offered salvation. And man, guys, this is Romans 5:8. This is the gospel in this verse. That it says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so if you're here this week, because last week Sean gave a charge to bring a friend awake. And so if you are that friend here today, I am so glad you're here. But please hear me loud and clear that Romans 5:8 is the gospel that but while we were sinners in our brokenness, that we were so in need of a savior, that God demonstrates his love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, we have that hope and we have the opportunity to step into life. And it's strictly through Jesus Christ who died on a cross for us. And so I'm asking you this week to seek to take initiative for the benefit of others. Whether it be your parents, your teachers, your friends, your siblings. You would take initiative for their benefit. And not just seek to be just good enough. Because when I say it a lot, but when I was in middle school, I did all the right things. I went through all the right motions. But I thought I was just good enough. I thought, I don't bully anyone. I don't say any cuss words, but my friends do. And so because I'm not doing maybe as bad of things that they are, that I'm good. But guys, my life did not reflect Christ in the way that I spoke to my parents or the way that I had my friendships. No one around me could see anything different about me other than the fact that I wore a cross necklace. I definitely was not speaking the truth in love or taking initiative for anyone's benefit. So as we look at all the ways that Jesus exemplified friendship, he started a conversation. He inspired with God's goodness. He didn't ignore the need, and he offered salvation. And so we have real life examples of ways that we can take that into our middle schools, the ways that we can take that into our homes, our relationships, our small groups. And so my charge to you guys is to follow Jesus' example of how to be a friend, to practice humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Think about being a godly friend to others, not just desiring to have godly friends. My charge to you guys today is to take initiative for the benefit of others. So guys, my last question for you is, when is the last time, think about this and maybe share your groups on Wednesday, when's the last time that you lovingly shared the truth of the gospel with someone? And when did your life exemplify it? And so in this, guys, I sit here and I say that with a lot of passion because I was in your seat years ago and I missed it. I listened every Sunday and every Wednesday and I missed it. And I don't want you guys to miss it. That Romans 5:8 is true. That 1 John 3:16 is true. That our lives can be transformed because of what Christ has done for us. So in that, I'll close and pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have offered us salvation. Thank you so much that we get to have eyes for others and that that gets to be a life-giving to us because we understand what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room who does not truly know or understand or has experienced your love, that they would be willing to stop and initiate a conversation. That they'd be willing to step up to a small group leader and ask them questions, hard questions. Lord, I pray that those who do hear this in this room would seek to truly take initiative for the benefit of others today. And Lord, if there's anything that I've said today that's not been helpful or not of your spirit, Lord, I please pray that it would fall on deaf ears. Lord, we're grateful for this and grateful for this Sunday. And all these things in your name. Amen.